Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great! Thank you.
our God is great and our God is mighty. He is our shepherd and he watches over me. And we had an experience this week, and I thought, God is so good and he is great and he is mighty. Our neighbor had started a fire next door, trying to burn a little bit of some scrap wood or something. And I was at the grocery store, and Karen calls me, and she had just got home. And apparently the fire had gotten out of hand. And the man just was panicking, and he tried to put it out himself. Well, it just kept spreading. And so finally he called his fiance, and she says, well, call the fire department, call the forestry. Well, the fire was moving on to the back of our property, and it was moving up toward our house. Well, when Karen got home, of course, the fire station was there, and the forestry and all that. And she calls me, and she says, Mom, said the woods are on fire behind your house, and said, it's coming up your back of your yard. And of course, I thought, oh, God, you know. Immediately, I started praying. I don't know. I just prayed. And I thought, well, I'm in the middle of buying groceries. I might as well just finish buying groceries. What good is it, you know? I might as well finish buying groceries. So I'm here buying groceries. And, of course, I kept calling her. And so when I got home, she says, Mom, she said, I don't believe this. She said, the wind was blowing the fire up toward our house. And she said, Mom, she said, it was like all of a sudden, said, the wind just reversed. And said, the fire started blowing the other way. And I said, and I thought, God, it could have went another way. And I thought, God, you are so good. You are so good. And you are so merciful. And I've seen so many times how the Lord has moved. And oh, Lord Jesus, he is so good. He's so merciful. Oh, glory. I've had so many experiences in my lifetime where I've seen the Lord just move. Move, and I know that it's nothing nothing on me, because I'm not worthy. I can tell you that right now. I'm not worthy. But I thought, it's just by his mercy. Just by his mercy. Oh, Jesus. And I thought, I got to get up. I have to get up, and I have to tell that, because, I just felt like I owe that to the Lord, to get up and thank him and praise him for being so good. He's good all the time, even when I don't think he is, you know, but he is, he's good. And sometimes things may happen, it's good for you, you know. And you may not think that it's good for you at the time, but when you look back and you thought, well, at the time, it was good for me. It was good for me. So I just wanted to say that I am so thankful. I'm so thankful. And I'm so glad that he chose me to be among his people. Oh, I could have been one whose eyes were not open. I could have been one who didn't believe. Oh, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for him tonight. And I just want to say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
I want to thank the Lord tonight for him letting me be here, for one thing. I'm grateful that Brother Coles is going to get to go to Jacksonville. I wish I was going with him. But the last few months has been a big ordeal to me, and it's been very hard. But at the end of it, I'll tell you what I wanted to say in a minute. But my mom had a stroke. We were in Roanoke, Virginia in September with Brother and Sister Finnicum, and my dad called and said he couldn't wake my mom up, and she had had a stroke. And so we turned around and drove straight back, and it's been a nightmare since. I didn't get to come to church for a long time here because I've been with them, and Mama came home from the rehab in January, but she can't get out of bed by herself yet, and she can't get up and down, and they can't cook, and Dad's had a stroke 7 years ago, so we've moved them in a trailer back behind my house, and I'm the caretaker. My brother don't want to help me, and nobody wants to help me, and I don't have any other help but Brother Coles and me and Brother Coles, and he works a job, and they've been in their house for 56 and a half years in the same house, and I'm the villain that has to tell them that they have to move out of their house, and so it's been a really hard month. It's been the many times that Brother Coles and Aaron came up here without me. It wasn't because I didn't want to come. It's because I couldn't come, and I was trying to take care of my parents, and y'all, the ones of y'all that know my story can understand how hard it is taking care of my dad and mom and under the circumstances, and it's been an ordeal. It's been really hard, and but I want to give God the glory. Mama is better than she was when we brought her home from the rehab. At least now she can, we got her a lift chair, and that was a miracle within itself. I saw an ad on Craigslist for a lift chair, and it was here in Little Rock, and I emailed the people, and they said they wanted $750. Well, it might as well have been a million. I couldn't afford $750. So the way it worked out, I emailed the lady back after she sent me a picture, and I told her, I said, your chair's worth what you want for it, but we can't afford it. And she called me back, and she said, I want you to have the chair. So she let us have it for $250. And God is good. And so that lift chair has been what has helped give me a little bit of freedom, because with the lift chair, Mama has learned to lift the chair up high enough, and with her walker, she can set the potty chair in her bedroom where she can get back and forth from there. So during the day, once I get her up in the morning and I get her bath and get her their breakfast and get their food cooked for the day, then I've been going over to their house. Of course, my dad's give us quite a bit of static over the thought of having to. He wants everything left in his house just like it is. They want to keep the house for a keepsake. And you got Mama's 80 and Daddy's 78. But yet, you know, it's just been really hard because we can't keep up their house and our house and their house and behind our house. And I can't mow all the grass and I can't keep up everything. And so it's been an ordeal trying to. But God is blessed. And when Daddy had the stroke 7.5 years ago, there arose a circumstance with my other brother that he had to go get a power of attorney and turn it over to me. And I never had even looked at the papers until Mama had the stroke. And I found out that I am the power of attorney. So I went to a lawyer 2 weeks ago, and he said with my power of attorney that I can sell the house without having to have Dad's permission. I just got to put up with the explosion and everything that I've got to put up with in between. So I've been trying to pack the house in between getting Mama up and trying to take care of everything and being back. I have to be back by 8 o'clock at night. Tonight I told them we're going to be back a little bit later, but they're ready to go to bed at 8 o'clock. And I mean, if it's 1 minute before 8 or 1 minute after 8, Mama calls me, I'm ready to go to bed, you know, put me to bed. So I have to get her. She can't dress herself or anything yet, so I had to get her for bed. But what I wanted to say was, last time I was here, Sister Jody asked me, you okay, Sister Coles? I said, well, no, but nobody really cares anyway, you know. And so I know she's not here, but I wanted to apologize to her for that, because the Lord does care, and I know y'all care. It's just that sometimes the load gets so heavy that you feel like nobody cares. But what I really wanted to say was, the next week after we were here, I guess I back up a little bit. Y'all know that we redone the church, and it took me about a year working hard. I didn't get to come to church much in that year because I was working on the church. And I give God the glory because he's the one that helps me do the stuff. But we got it fixed up. Y'all that's been there know that it's at least decent looking now for a storefront building. God's give us a nice building. But it accumulated some debt, which our little church didn't have the money to pay for. So we didn't tell everybody this, but we kind of mortgaged our van to pay for the church being fixed. And we also put the rest of it. It accumulated $15,000 that we had to charge. And that was after everybody had put in all they could put in and all the peanut brittle and everything. But we owed $15,000 on working on the church, and we didn't have it. So we mortgaged our van, and then we put the rest of it on our personal credit card. And so then whenever Mom had the stroke, then we had to buy a trailer to put it behind our house. And then we took the rest of our credit card availability. I've been working on their trailer, redoing the trailer, fixing it up handicap accessible for Mom. So we were kind of stretched to the hilt. And Brother Coles and me is very particular about our money situation. We don't jump in over our head. We've always been very careful to pay what we could, you know, not get more than what we could pay. And with the stress from my mom and dad and the stress from the financial standpoint, I was just really to that breaking point, and God knew it. And that week, like I said, we've not even told our church people this. We didn't, for a reason, because when you have a new group of people and they find out some things, they kind of tend to not give. But that week I had an individual call me that's a very precious person to me. Some of y'all know her and some of you don't, but she's 86 years old, and she's been my mom in the Lord. And she called me, and she says, "I've been thinking about you a lot lately." And she says, "I just wanted to bless you. I want to know how much y'all had to charge to fix your church up." And I told her, I said, $15,000. And she said, "It'll be in the mail tomorrow." And the next day, I got a call from her bank. And it was the lady at the bank, and she was on the phone. She said, "Here, talk to the lady." And they wanted our church account number and our routing number, and they transferred $15,000 over to our bank. And I got to go get the title back to our van. And I paid off the rest of the credit card. So I want to thank the Lord, and I'm so sorry that I said that to Sister Jody, because I didn't mean it. It's just been so very hard, because it's been so difficult. And Brother Cole's getting to go to Jacksonville. I want him to go, but it'll be the first time that he's gone without me. And I want to go so bad, but I know I can't right now. But I know if when the Lord works the things out. The lawyer told me that with selling the house, if I could sell the house, their old house and 5 acres ain't worth very much, but it'd be enough money to catch us back up in our finances that we put into their trailer, and I'll be able to hire somebody every now and then to come and stay with my parents while I get to go someplace. And so I just pray that the Lord will allow it to sell. But I want to thank him for making a way. I want to praise him for it. And if you see any of our church people, don't tell them. I think you can understand. Mature people can handle it. But when you got a young group, they can't, you know. And you want to give the praise to the Lord. I was wanting to shout to the housetop, but I couldn't because I knew what would happen, you know. There would be nothing in the offering instead of the $15 the next time, you know. But Brother Coles and I don't take any of the tithes money or anything from the church, because it's taking it all to make everything, to make ends meet. But I thank the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for what he's done. I want to thank him for making a way in the finances. And I want to thank him also for touching my mom And I want to say it's been a wonderful opportunity to get to know my mom. I never got a chance to really get to know my mom because of my dad, the way he's been, even if he's still a grouch bucket and a horrible person sometimes, than I've had every morning giving my mom a shower. I've had an opportunity to hug her and to kiss her and tell her I love her. And it makes it so well worth it when she looks up at me and she says, Imogene, I love you. You know, and it makes it so worth it. I want to thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to be a servant to my mother and for giving me the chance to help her and give her a place to live, a decent place to live. And I ask the Lord to help me to be what I need to be to her. And in her last days, that I can make things comfortable for her. And I just want to thank the Lord tonight. I praise him so much. I didn't mean for it to be sad. I just wanted to praise him for the things that he has done for us.
Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord tonight for his love and what we feel here in this service tonight. I'm thankful for the house that we have to worship in. And it's amazing how God works for us personally, whether it's in our, with our, you know, avoiding fires or caring for our parents or sick children or our jobs or whatever the case may be. We serve a very personal God. He's made provision for all of us. And, you know, it's difficult at times to recognize, you know, that it's working for our good. But it is. It is working for our good. I want to let you know that Brother Smith and Brother Pryor have already left for Florida for the meeting. And so, surprise, surprise, that's why I'm standing here. Brother Smith called me, and I'm happy to serve. You know, it takes a willing heart to go on with God. And the Bible says that the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. You know, there's many people today that aren't, they're neither. They're neither willing nor obedient. They're hard-hearted and stiff-necked. But those people have always been around. And there's always going to be people like that. However, you don't have to be one of those. You don't have to be one of those that is stubborn or stiff-necked or have your conscience seared over to where nothing will faze you. You just do what you want to do to who you want to do and how you want to do. You don't have to be one of those. You can be one of those that are willing and obedient. Praise God. Jesus said if knock and the door shall be open. Seek and ye shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. And I know that someone who is willing, you know, oftentimes, I've said this before, oftentimes I'm afraid to ask the question because I'm afraid of the answer. And it's like Brother Smith was talking today about one of the brethren in the Dominican Republic. Once he heard the answer that it'd be better off for you to not hear this message than it would be for you to hear this message and turn away. Once he heard that and recognized that, well, he skedaddled. And, you know, the sad thing is, for any of us, when we hear things that we know, things that are contrary to how we want to do things, or, you know, whether it's, you know, like Brother Smith said today, whether it's that item, you know, whether it's a car or a house or a trip or whatever it may be that you covet, that you want so bad that you don't even want to ask God about because you're afraid He'll say no. When we're at that point in our life, then that's really where we should get our most humble. That's really when we should find ourselves on our knees and trusting that God will make a way. I remember when we moved here, Little Rock, I've said this before, but Little Rock was probably the last place on my list to move. But I can tell you this. Somebody asked me when the Lord spoke to me and gave me a dream about moving, and Brother Weiniger and the way he treated me, and Brother Leniger, the way they handled our situation, it was just a confirmation. I knew that we were in the Lord's will, and I know it today that it was the Lord's will for us to be here. I know that with certainty. But somebody asked me, they said, well, why would you want to move? And I said, because I want to be in the Lord's will. And they kind of mocked me a little bit. Like, yeah, I guess they expected me to have some sort of failure or some sort of, you know, great turmoil. And I don't misunderstand. You know, we had our struggles, but they mocked me a little bit, like, you know, well, you may be in Lord's will, but you're going to go through hell and back. You know, that's about the way they wanted to put it. And I said, my reply was, well, what more could I ask for than to be in the Lord's will? Why would I want any other will? Why would I want it any other way? The Bible says that He has all power in heaven and earth. If He has the power, and I'm working or operating according to His plan, where's the problem?
Thank God.
You know, that's in my mind, Brother Daniels, that's how I saw it. What's the problem? Well, the problem was it didn't suit somebody's fancy. It didn't please them. And that's the hardest thing I've found for me in decisions that I've had to make as a father, as a husband, is the things that don't please everybody. But I've come to terms with the fact that you can't. And so my desire is to please the Lord. But even then, sometimes you just don't know. So you have to do what you know is right. And so the Bible gives us specific instruction that says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So when you know to do good and you don't do it, then your sins remain. And that's, you know, that's why Brother Smith read that today. He said that we ought to judge ourselves. We ought to recognize, you know, where we're lacking and beg and plead with God for correction today. We want to be corrected today. We don't want to wait for our sins to compile or our errors to build up so that some, you know, day down the road we have this great issuance of judgment. We want to be able to have our sins corrected today. While you have the Spirit of God, while you have this house of worship, while you have your brothers and your sisters here to comfort and console you, while you have the Word of God to be able to turn to, we want to be able to have our sins and our errors corrected today while we have this great environment that we have. Praise the Lord. And we do have a great environment. I'm really just thankful to be in this church. And I come up, in Babylon. I came up in religion. I came up doing the things that Brother Smith taught on today, thinking that that was right. But I can tell you there was something lacking in what they offered me. And I was searching. I was searching. I was knocking. I was asking. I was seeking for something more. And I found it. Hallelujah. I found it. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And you will too. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Oh, hallelujah. You'll reap in due season. Faint not, my friends. Faint not. Don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap in due season. Hallelujah. There's a reward coming for the faithful. Praise the Lord. But, just think about it. Even here tonight, where we hear a song like the band song, Great is Our Lord. Do you know that song was written by a young man from Paducah, Kentucky, who found inspiration from the Spirit and the Word of God. And he put down, he took a pen and a piece of paper, I assume. He might have put it on a digital format, but somewhere he wrote down some words, Great is Our Lord. Then somewhere along the line, he put some music, some notes to it, a little harmony. He found something, didn't he? God gave him something, a little bit of his reward. Now, I asked him about that song. It's one of my favorites. And when we had our last youth meeting, and those sisters got up and sang. Well, that just touched me deeply. Yes. And so I asked him, I said, would you mind if I pull that song, a clip of that song, and put it on YouTube, on our YouTube channel? He said, go ahead, use it for the glory of God. And so here he was. He wasn't fainting in his labor of love. He reaped a bit of his reward, got a beautiful song out of it, shared it with somebody who shared it with somebody who shared it with somebody. And then the next thing you know, we got a whole congregation, a whole band playing a song that this young guy from Kentucky wrote, blessing God's people. You never know, do you, what God will do for you. You never know how God will use you, young or old, in between. Doesn't mean nothing to God. Age is no, there's no, God, as far as age is concerned, that's not an issue for him. Who was it that went to Mexico? Brother Jack Lewis. I sat with Brother Lewis at a dinner table in Oregon. I want to say Medford, but I know it's Portland, but it's a suburb of Portland. Beaverton, thank you. In Beaverton, Oregon, and he told me, he said, I was ready to retire. How old was he? Does anybody know how old he was? 70? I want to say he was 70 years old when he went to Mexico. And he just, Lord, here am I. Use me. If the Lord called me to Mexico today, I'd say, no, 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 no. You've got the wrong person. No hablé español. But he didn't either. That's the amazing part. I don't think he spoke Spanish either. But God used him, didn't he? And God will use you. Don't faint in due season. You will reap. You will reap. Don't faint. Praise the Lord. And so we have needs. We have things arise. Take a few moments here and see if I can bare my heart. We have things arise in our life that weigh us down, that affect us in such a great way. I remember one time I was talking to Brother Liniger after we had moved to Little Rock about a very personal matter. It didn't involve me directly, but it affected me in a great way. It affected my family. And I was upset. And I don't know if Brother Brett remembers this, but he was standing there. And I was asking Brother Liniger about this. And in a very matter-of-fact way, which I had never had Brother Liniger talk to me like this, so maybe I was fortunate. Although we've had some pretty serious conversations prior to that. But in a very matter-of-fact way, he said, "Brother Painter, what do you expect from me? I don't always have the wisdom of God." Okay. It's me tapping out. Uncle, I'm done. You win. I didn't know what to say. I was just like, "I'm sorry, Brother Liniger, to put that kind of stress on you." You know, that's about all I could say. He didn't have the answer that I needed to that to comfort me in that situation, or even really what to do. He just had to watch it unfold. And that's what he said. He said, "Look, I don't always have the wisdom of God to just know everything that's right about every situation." That was a very good lesson for me. And I recognize that there's things that hinder us, that affect us in such a great way, that sometimes the only thing that we know to do is just trust and pray. Trust and pray. Knock. Seek. And ask. Sometimes that's the only thing that we can do. I was reading in the book of Acts in the 6th chapter about the disciples, the apostles, and the struggles that they were going through with their new work. Just want to illustrate a little bit of what I think, you know, the situation was like. Here they were. They're with Jesus. When Jesus was feeding the multitudes, they asked him, they said, "What are you going to do? People are hungry. You going to send them into town to get something to eat?" And Jesus said, "No, we can't send them into town." He said, how many fishes and loaves do you have?" And they began to pass them out, you know, and they fed thousands with just a basket of fishes and loaves. And so I can imagine them as being his admirers. I can imagine that they just relaxed. They just trusted that he would provide. You need money to pay your taxes? Go down to the river, get some money out of a fish's mouth. No problem. Right? You need something to eat? Just grab that little boy's lunch pail. It'll feed thousands. You need a little faith, Peter? Come on, well, let's go for a walk in the middle of the ocean. I can just imagine that they relaxed. They just trusted that every need that they had or anybody else had. Sick unto death. Jesus touched them. Everything's okay. I can just imagine that they just trusted that everything was going to be fine. And then he's crucified. And their world came to a crashing halt. And so much so that I can just imagine that they were walking down a road, hanging their head, singing the blues. Jesus walks right up beside them and starts talking to them. They had gotten so discouraged that they didn't even recognize him. They didn't even appreciate that visitation that he brought to them. And even so much that when he did come to see them, they wanted to inspect his hands. They didn't even believe. They went from healing the sick, healing the blind, no problem. They went from that to like, who are you? And where did you come from? We get burdened down with our responsibilities. I get burdened down with my responsibilities, and I forget that I'm a child of God. I forget that he's called me to the body of Christ. I forget that he has all power in heaven and earth. I forget that he looked way down in time and saw me and said a prayer for me. I forget that he lived a sacrificial life where he committed no sin, where he was not worthy of death, but he willingly gave his life for the redemption of humanity, for the redemption of me. I forget that. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. He is a shepherd, and he watches over me. Hallelujah. Heavens declare his glory. I'll ever tell the story. Yeah. How he reached down for fallen man. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Don't lose sight of who he is. Don't let the cares of life weigh you down so great. Don't let the circumstances that surround you become so heavy that they blind your eyes to the fact that you're a child of the Most High God. And he gave his life that you could have life. Oh, hallelujah. Don't forget that. So here in the sixth chapter of Acts, in the first verse, it says, "And in those days the multitude of disciples was multiplied. And there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." I can just imagine. Sister Coles, how would you like to have 100 of your mothers to care for? That's, you know, thousands maybe. Who knows how many? And I appreciate and I truly respect and honor families that take care of mama. I told my wife one time, I said, if your boy loves you as much as I love your mama, as much as I love my mama, you're going to be a lucky woman. There's nobody like mama, is there? You know. And I'm a dad. Here I am saying that. But it's true. It's true nonetheless. There's nobody like mama. So here these Grecians were complaining So the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now here's the thing. This is kind of how I see this. And you bear with me as I illustrate my mind about this a little bit. Here these men are. Jesus is gone. They have a great desire in their heart to preach the gospel. They recognize that this man came, he lived a sin-free life, he gave his life as a sacrifice for the redemption of man, and it's their duty to preach the gospel and tell the whole world, because that's what he told them at the very end. Go ye forth into all the world and preach the gospel, and glad tidings. And that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to preach the glad tidings of Jesus Christ and how you can be saved, hallelujah, from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's what they wanted to do. And that's what they were called to do. And here they've got this knocking on their door. So-and-so's not getting their breakfast. So-and-so doesn't have any provisions. So-and-so doesn't have a place to stay. So-and-so needs this. So-and-so needs that. So-and-so is tired and needs somebody to look. So-and-so needs somebody to stay up with them. And just went, you know, I can just imagine. So-and-so needs this and this and this and this and this and this. And now all of a sudden, they're detracted from their calling. Now, that's not to say these men weren't responsible. They were responsible for the widows. James said that pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and care for the widows. They recognize that's really the base element. They recognize that that's a foundation of the family of God, is taking care of families. And so, in their wisdom, they delegated authority. Now, what would have happened, I'm going to use me as an illustration, but what would have happened if, when they're delegating authority to these disciples, say I was one of them. Maybe I was one of that multitude of disciples. And they're out there delegating authority. Okay, I want you to check on, and they give me a list of, 10 or 20 or 30. I want you to make sure that they've got food. I want you to make sure that they've got, water, if they had to carry water or whatever. What if I was one of those and I had this burning zeal to preach the gospel and glad tidings? Sorry, guys. You're going to have to find somebody else. I've got a calling. And it's not to carry water. What if I'd have been like that, Brother Daniels? That would have been pretty bad, wouldn't it? I'm sure that there were some that were like that. As great a man as David, King David was, he said he just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Just to be a doorkeeper. And Solomon, he prayed the prayer. He said, Lord, give me wisdom to know how to go in and out among your people. There might have been men and women that weren't willing to serve, but you know what? They're not recorded in the book. Those men and women aren't recorded because eventually they didn't matter. They weren't, after a while, if those people existed, they were no longer a part of the plan. They just kind of flittered away. But the Bible says that they found seven men full of the Spirit. Full of faith in the Holy Ghost. In the fifth verse, names these men. It says in the sixth verse, they were set before the apostles, and when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, the Bible says that the word of God increased. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem greatly, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now notice that part right there where it says, and the word of God increased. It didn't say anything about how well they were cared for. It didn't say, you know, well, we say, you know, we provided housing for 1,000. We made sure that Meals on Wheels, just exaggerate a little bit, reached 2,000 or 10,000. It didn't say that. These men, they recognized that people have needs. They have personal needs. And if we can make provisions for that, then we can go about the Word of God. And then the Bible says when they did make those provisions and they delegated that authority, the Bible says that the Word of God increased and so did the multitudes of the disciples. That's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how things work when they're done in order, how well they work, how well things go when people work in order. It said here that Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now here's a guy, Stephen, that was selected as one of the seven to serve and meet the needs of the widows. And now all of a sudden he's being lifted up and given great power and wisdom and miracles in his life. Wow! That's what we're looking for, isn't it? And I'm not saying I'm looking for that necessarily. It would thrill my heart to have miracles worked in your life, Sister Bryant. I'm happy that God reversed the wind and saved your family from that tragedy. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am thankful that God takes us and keeps us from danger seen and unseen and lets us experience miracle working power in our lives. Oh, God, I wish we all had greater miracles. I wish we all had more wisdom and authority from God in our lives. Just think how the Word of God would increase in our congregation. Oh, hallelujah, if we all experience the great working power of God on a regular basis. Praise God. My, just think, brethren, the joy and the happiness that we'd feel as a congregation to see the miracles and power of God working in your lives and in our lives. Thank God as we all work together for Him and to spread His message. Oh, hallelujah. It said that Stephen said there were certain in the synagogue. They didn't like Stephen. They disputed with him. In the 10th verse, it said that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Now, here's a man, and I don't know what he did. Sister York, he would have probably been happy to have had somebody like the crew we had this morning fixing breakfast. I imagine Stephen would have been thrilled to have had a good crew like we had this morning. Thank God. Thank God for all those that serve in the dining room. I appreciate him. I truly do. Imagine Stephen, I don't know if he was, you know, he might have had a little dust on his apron, a little flour on his nose, or I don't know. You know, I don't know what his life was like or his circumstance. But the Bible says that he increased with knowledge and miracles, so much so that the scribes begin to dispute with him. And they couldn't resist his wisdom. The Bible says, he that lacketh wisdom, let him ask from above. If you're looking for something tonight, ask the Lord. Don't be afraid to ask him. Don't be afraid of the answer that he might give you. Wisdom is what builds a house. I think that was quoted today. Wisdom is what builds a house. Praise the Lord. And it said that they disputed with him, but they were not able to resist him. So what did they do? They stirred up the people, the elders, the scribes. They came unto him, they caught him, they took him to council, and they set up a false witness. That's bad. A false witness. In our Bible reading this morning, I was reading about somebody who had done something wrong in Deuteronomy 17. In the second verse, it said, if there be found among you within any of your gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, 17 and 2, that wrought, Deuteronomy 17 and 2, that wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God and transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or the moon, or any host of the heaven which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard it and inquired diligently. Fifth verse, that thou shalt bring forth that man or that woman that have committed such wicked thing, and that man or that woman shall, thou shalt stone them with stones until they die. Whew. Let's go on. At the mouth of two witnesses, or three witnesses, shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness, thou shalt not, he shall not be put to death. How many witnesses do you think that they had against Stephen that were true? I don't think they had any. I think that's why the Bible says that they had bear false witness. They bared false witness against him. And then they stoned him to death. When they stoned him, there was a man standing there in the 8th chapter of Acts. Said, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. Saul consented unto the death of Stephen. It's amazing. Brother Coles, I'd hate to be in such a frame of mind that you're doing good preaching the gospel and I was condemning you to death. I'd hate to be guilty of that. Brother Thompson, I wouldn't even want to be guilty of bearing false witness, let alone false witness that bring a man's death. I wouldn't want to do that. But here Saul was. The Bible says that he consented to it. Do you know that you can think you're doing right and be doing wrong? Here lies Mr. Hardaway. He was killed while maintaining his right-of-way. He was right. He was dead right as he sped along, but now he's just as dead as if he was wrong. Sometimes the best thing that we can do, sometimes the best thing that I can do is humble myself and let God defend me if a defense is to be made. So here was Saul. He consented unto Stephen's death, and God used it. They meant it for evil, and God used it for good. How do you think Stephen felt about it? I don't know. I hope to ask him. That's a bizarre way to put it, but don't you? Stephen, what do you think about that? You inspired the conversion of Saul through your death. You know, if he was a comic, he might make a joke. Well, I better not. But, you know, we look at things different. We look at things differently because we see the finality of it. But God's not that way. When he saw the death of Stephen, he had to see the conversion of Saul. wonder what God sees in the death of me. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about what Brother Smith was talking about this morning. About crucifying the old man and his deeds. I wonder what the Lord sees in my death. The inspiration that it would bring. What am I holding up? What am I holding back from happening? What is my stubbornness or my hard-heartedness or my unwillingness to say, Lord, here am I. Use me as you will. What am I holding back? I don't know the answer to that. And I'm humbled at the thought of it. But I want you to know that by the help and grace of God, I intend to find out whether in this life or the life to come. Be challenged today. God expects more from us. He expects a greater sacrifice from all of us. It's not enough. It's simply not enough for us to do what we've always done. It's not enough. He's not doing what he's always done. He's doing more. And as you know, the world's changing rapidly. And it just seems like iniquity and evil is just running like a wildfire. And it's so there's no stopping. There's no stopping point. There's nothing. There's no defense. You're just overwhelmed with it. You know, your poor children can't even go into a grocery store without hearing somebody's foul mouth. I mean, words that are, they're so foreign to me that to hear somebody say them, it's like, why? Why would you even communicate? What is that? I mean, that's pig Latin to me. It's meaningless. It's not even a language. It's just vulgarity. It's meaningless. It's empty. Or billboards or television ads or magazines or stuff on the radio. It just goes on. Here we are. What is God doing? He's talking to you and me. He's saying, you know, I've got some people that they're hungry. I've got some widows over here, and they need some food. Have you got anybody that's full of the Spirit that would be willing to take them a dinner? Have you got anybody that full of the Holy Ghost that could bring a refreshing word? That's what he's doing. He's talking to us in this congregation. We're not exclusive, but we're here. We're here, brethren. This is where the Lord called us. He's talking to us about what we're willing to. Be challenged. Don't accept things for the way they are. With God, all things are possible. Your life can be changed in a moment. I'm not saying it will be. Although I've had momentous occasions that have changed my life. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I can tell you that changed my life. It turned my world upside down. I looked at things totally different than I did. My perspective on life changed that moment. I am really happy to be here tonight. I hope you are. I hope you feel a desire in your heart to draw nigh to the Lord, to live for Him, to be persuaded, to be determined. Hallelujah. Come what may, Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you will. Praise God. And the things that you don't know about, the things that you don't know how to do, where do you think Stephen got his wisdom? Where do you think he got the wisdom that he had to dispute with the scribes? God gave it to him. God gave him the wisdom. You know, there's things, you're going to learn things in this church that, let me rephrase that. I've learned things in this church that I never even thought about doing. Ever thought about doing. And now I've learned some things. You will too. Open your heart up. Seek the Lord. And what? You'll find him. Praise the Lord. I'd like to call us to prayer. I know that Brother Phil Fisher said Sister Fisher is sick tonight. The flu has just overwhelmed her. Aches and pains and stomach virus and all that goes with it. So let's remember her. Of course, let's remember Brother Smith and Brother Pryor as they're headed to the meeting in Jacksonville. All of them traveling, Brother Coles, Brother Talley, Brother York. Headed, we'll be praying for y'all to have a safe trip. Remember Sister Smith, we miss her today. And I know that she carries a heavy load. Are there any other prayer requests to be mentioned here? Okay, your family and yourself. Anyone else? Go ahead and put the prayer list up. Sister Karen, just remember her tonight. Yes, thank you. Brother Brandon's in Texas. Yep. Visiting his girl. I know what that's like. Hey, I'm going to tell you, that ride from Texas, that's a long ride when you leave something behind. Sure enough. Thank God for Texas. Pretty girls. All right. Just remember my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. I know that their health is really working against them right now, and they need the Lord's help. Brother and Sister Denver, any other prayer requests? Brother David Angelo? Very good. All right.
I have not spoken to you last weekend.
God answered your prayer. Thank you. Thank the Lord. I should tell you, I the Lord helped me yesterday. I'm telling you this. If I tell you this, I'm embarrassed to tell you just because I don't. It's just fact. So please take it that way. And I don't want you to think less of me. I'm an adventurous person, and I was out riding with a bunch of guys yesterday, motorcycles. And we come up down this road, and I felt my rear tire just lock. And, there's only two wheels, so if one's not moving, you got a problem. If one's moving, the other one is, you got a real big problem. And then it gave loose again. Well, it slowed me down, naturally. I was coming into a hard turn. I came around that turn, and there's a dog laying in the middle of the road. Now, he looked at me with a smiling face, like, what are you doing here? He didn't see my face because I had a helmet on, but I was thinking the same thing. What are you doing here? And I thank the Lord. It's a pretty unusual circumstance. I actually had a shirt that come undone and wrapped around my rear axle. But it was just enough to just kind of take that bite and bring me a lot slower. It didn't put me in danger, but I would have been in danger. The dog probably would have beat me up if I'd have run over him. You know how dogs are. They're not forgiving about stuff like that. So neither are their owners. which was home at the time. So I'm thankful that the Lord helped me with that. And I witnessed to a man that was, he was right behind me, and he saw it happen. I said, I just want you to know, I feel like the Lord let that happen to keep me from danger. And I'm thankful for that. Are there any other prayer requests? If the ushers will come forth, we'll receive an offering tonight. And if you would, we used to have a saying back home, if you have it to give, you're welcome. If you don't have it to give, you're welcome. If you have it to give and don't want to give, you're still welcome in the house of the Lord. But that being said, it takes, you know, Brother Langer used to say, it takes money to run a church. So we'll let church walk, let it crawl, let it walk, let it run. Let's take an offering, let the church walk. That's what they say. If you've heard that, you can laugh with me on that. So let's all stand and take these knees before the Lord. Give generously as unto the Lord, and let the Lord know that we love him and appreciate this moment that we have. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we pray here today, Lord, for your loving mercy upon your people. Pray for those that are traveling to this meeting, the men of God. Lord, that you'd touch and illuminate their minds. Oh, God, that you'd talk to them, Lord, and let them work together and come together in the spirit of unity till they come in the spirit of faith, unity of the faith. Oh, Lord, watch over them and protect them, Lord. Bless them. Bless their home congregations, Lord Jesus. Those that support and lift up their hands. Pray for those that are sick here today, Sister Fisher. Oh, God, we pray that you'd help her and touch her body, dear Lord. Oh, Jesus. Reach down your loving hand and help those that are sick and afflicted in this congregation. Oh, God, those that are carrying a heavy load, those that have decisions to make, Lord, touch them and help them, I pray. In Jesus' name, bless this offering we're about to receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed Savior, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Glad that my wife can be with me again. I'm going to get spoiled here by having Sister Coles come with me. And I do wish that she could go with me to the meeting there in Jacksonville. And I know it's going to be hard on her to know that she won't get to go. And it was hard on me being in Connecticut for a week and have to deal with all that white stuff all over the ground when I was gone for a while. But if y'all like snow, you should have been up there. That's all I can say, because there was plenty of it. Amen. I appreciate the presence of the Lord that is in this place. Hallelujah. Just trying to feel after the Lord. And the Bible says we have to feel after the Lord, though he be not far from any of us. And sometimes he might seem like he's a million miles away. And sometimes discouragement comes, doesn't it? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm thankful for that joy. Amen. I was reading the scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 16, and verse 11, where it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." The path of life. The path of life. Then it says, "In his presence is fullness of joy." The path of life can only be found in the fullness of God's presence. In his presence is fullness. When you get in God's presence, there's a fullness. When the Lord multiplied those loaves and fishes, wasn't a whole lot there. It was just a boy's lunch, as Brother Painter said. But little did that boy know that his lunch was going to be used to feed a multitude. Little did he know that God was going to take that little bit that he had and multiply it. Little did he know that God was going to do something great in everyone's lives that day with what he brought that day. And there was something about that miracle. There was something about what Jesus did that day that caused people to feel full. In his presence is fullness of joy. Sometimes there are things that I can eat that don't leave me full. I eat it, Brother Weininger, and I'm still hungry. You ever ate anything and after a while it just vanishes away? I can eat dry cereal with some milk, and after a little bit, it's gone. I don't know about you, but it does me that way. There's not a fullness to it. But that particular day, when the Lord performed the miracles of the loaves and the fishes, those people partook of that, and it was different than anything that they had ever had before. I feel that way when I'm around the body of Christ. You know, I thought I had a fullness of joy where I was, Sister Crow. But it was just a little bit of a taste of what I have been feeling around the body of Christ. Amen. They partook of those loaves and fishes, and there was something longing to have some more of that. Jesus told the woman at the well, "You drink of this water, you'll thirst again." You will. "But if you drink of the water that I give you, it shall be in you a well of water springing up
into everlasting life. There's something about what Jesus gives that's different than anything else out there in the world. And when they partook of those loaves and fishes, it did something in them. And they had to come back and get some more of that. It wasn't a miracle so much as it was that full feeling they had inside of them. It just left something there, and they wanted some more of that full feeling. They wanted to experience that some more. And as I was reading that the other day, I was thinking about how that when you take up what the Lord gives you, He gives you a full feeling. But in order to get that full feeling, you've got to be able, or you need to get to the place where you desire it with everything that you've got in you. Those people took up shipping to go to the other side, to go to Capernaum, to experience again what they had experienced when they ate the loaves and the fishes. No sacrifice was too great, because they wanted to experience what they experienced that day when the Lord multiplied the loaves and the fishes. When someone will taste and see and find out for themselves that the Lord's good, when they'll take that opportunity to listen to the Word of God, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Word that was in the same was in the beginning with God, that Word that when it was spoken, did something to people. Never a man spake like this man, they said. And they had many people read scriptures in the synagogue, in the temple. They had many people exhort the Word of God. But there was something different about the words that came out of Jesus, because they were not His words. They were the words of His Father. And whatever His Father wanted Him to speak, that's what He was going to speak. Jesus talked about in John chapter 6 about the loaves, or rather about the manna. He talked about how that manna, God gave it to them in the Old Testament. And He said all those people that ate of that miracle of the manna died. They all died. Moses didn't give them that manna, as they said. Moses was just the recipient of a miracle that God did. But God allowed them to be sustained by manna. And the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live. So in order for us to live, we've got to be sustained by the Word of God, by God's words. Because His words are spirit and they are life. His words bring us nourishment. His words make us so we can live. You know, there on Mount Sinai, when God was giving them the commandments, they got afraid hearing the voice of God. And they wanted Moses to go up there and talk with God and bring the commandments down and bring whatever God wanted him to say and do. Bring that down to us, Moses. You do it. They were afraid of the voice of God. And the voice of God does bring conviction. But there's something about the words of God that are spirit and they are life. And when that spirit and life of the Word of God starts dealing with your heart, you either fall on the rock and be broken, or one day the rock's going to fall on you. Jesus told those people that day, and this is what I'm thinking, they made a long journey to learn something. Jesus left them with something that gave them a fullness, and they wanted some more of that fullness, and so He gave them a little bit more fullness. I like it how the Lord gives us little by little. Little by little. They made the journey to go and find out more about Jesus and about why they felt so full, he said, you know what? He said, I'm the true bread that came down from heaven, which if a man eat thereof, he shall never die. Woo! Hallelujah. If you just eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and that's really what blew their mind. If you could just eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will have life, everlasting life. It was hard for them to digest that. It was hard for them to swallow that. It was hard for them to receive that. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not the will of man or not the will of the flesh, but they were born of God. And when you're born of God, you want to listen to his word and you want to eat his word. You want to let that word become a part of you. And letting that word become a part of you. You know, someone always said, you are what you eat. You keep gobbling Hostess cupcakes, which we don't have now, but they'll come back. Be not faint-hearted. They're coming back. You keep eating them one of those days when they come back, and you know what? You're going to look like a Hostess cupcake. But if you eat of the Word and the words that God gives us will become what he tells us that we should do. We'll become what the Word of God wants us to become. Hallelujah. Is not thy word like a hammer? What's the hammer do? The hammer's beating us into shape. Kind of like a piece of steel on the anvil and the heat of the fire. And God lets that word hit that piece of steel, that red hot steel, and it's forming us into an instrument, a vessel of honor, prepared unto every good work. God prepares us. God prepares us through the heat. God prepares us through the fire. We don't like the fire. I don't like the heat. I'm hot natured. I'm away to church tonight. My wife was cold and I was hot. And I have my coat off. It's not unusual. I don't like the heat. I don't like the cold either. But you know what? God allows the heat so he can form us. God allows the trials so he can make us. God allows the difficulties so he can form us. He wants to be formed. He wants to form his image in our life. He wants to form his likeness in us. He left us an example, Peter said, that we should follow in his steps. In his steps. In his steps. Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Crucified. Just as he was crucified on a cross and nailed to that cross, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I am succumbing my will. I am dying out to my will. I am crucified with Christ. Then Paul said, nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I living, but it's Christ. And I can't allow Christ to live in me unless I am crucified with him. And when I'm crucified with him, then Christ can live in me. But he can't live in me unless I'm crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's a true bread that came down from heaven. And if a man take thereof and eat, he'll have eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can remember as a young person, there were certain things I didn't like to eat. I'm sure some of you can think about some of them things. My parents had some of the weirdest things for me to eat. And I know I came up from Yankee land, and I remember the first time we grew okra back up there. My pastor was from Oklahoma, there in Connecticut, and he was talking one time about okra, and my mom, she planted some of them things. They're like Jack and the Beanstalk with them things. Them things got so tall. And she picked them for her pastor because she loved her pastor. Brother and Sister Crow, she had them that long. She brought them to her pastor. My mom believed in bringing the first fruit, so whatever was first fruit especially, she brought it. Boy, I had my mouth watering on a nice tomato, first tomato out of the garden. She picked that thing and brought it to the pastor. But the pastor said, Sister Coles, said that okra, I'm really appreciate what you've given to me, but they're a whole lot better when they're smaller. I've never still, the okra is just hard for me to eat. Now, I know fried okra is good, I guess. It's better than putting it in soup and it's ooey gooey. But there was things we raised in that garden that I liked. I liked cauliflower and broccoli. Well, my mom and dad, they grew those things called parsnips. You ever heard of them things? They grow like a carrot. And they have got the weirdest taste. Y'all ever had a parsnip? Y'all know what a parsnip is? I couldn't stand it, Sister Crow. Didn't like parsnips, but we ate some because if I didn't, I'd be hungry. So I had to eat it. You know, there's lots of things in the Bible sometimes we don't like. But it's good for you. Every word of God is pure. Even the parsnips. Every word of God is pure. Proverbs. I believe it's in chapter 30. He is a shield unto them that walk uprightly. The word of God is pure. It's pure. Every bit of it. Even the stuff we don't like to have to look at, and because it steps on our toes and rubs us the wrong way. But you know what? I want to be saved. And you know what I've always said? You know what? Lord, if you've got something for me that's going to rub me the wrong way, God, let it rub me the wrong way because I want to be saved. I want God to do a work in me. Hallelujah. I got to allow him to do the work in me. Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. It's so good to be here tonight. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. I appreciate the words of Brother Painter tonight. That was good. Amen. I don't get to hear some of these other brethren sometimes, and then I hear some of them, and I'll tell you what, it's good. There's still some of these brethren here I hadn't heard. And I know y'all have, but y'all are home folk, but I haven't. And I like to hear. I love to hear the word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to see. There's an old song I'm thinking about. Let's see if it's in this book here. He
It is. So Sister Cole's helped me. This is an old song. I don't even know if she knows. Hallelujah. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take, this leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to
that will lead me to the promised land.
potluck will not be next Sunday. It will be the 31st, according to Brother Smith, which is Easter Sunday. So potluck will be the 31st, which is Easter Sunday. And I hope you all feel encouraged tonight and face this week, knowing that the Lord is with you. And He'll guide and direct your steps if you allow Him. If you'll trust Him, if you'll choose to trust in Him, He will direct your steps. So let's all be thankful for this service and give the Lord a praise and be dismissed. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you and we thank you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Go with us this week and keep us in your care. Let the Spirit of God and the Word of God touch us and help us. Oh, God, bless all those that are traveling and bless that meeting, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with us and keep us in your care. Hallelujah. Good night, everybody.